like that one. In fact, just like that one. The bad guys are in there.
You know something? I think you should be wearing this.
I don't think I've earned it yet.
You don't understand. You just solved the entire case. You just revolutionized the entire history of police training. I mean, all these years at the academy, studying human character, psyche of the terrorist, fingerprint analysis, all the courses that I've taken in surveillance, hostage negotiation, in criminal psychology. I mean, all I had to do is just drive around the neighborhood and point my finger at the house and say, the bad guys are in there.
You think you're funny, don't you?
I know I am. I'm the famous comedian, Arnold Braunschweiger.
We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
So hi and welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is the Unnamed Movie Podcast. The Unnamed Al Jazeera Podcast.
We're going to Al Jazeera now, really? Anyways, before we go anywhere, there's something I want to bring up, right? Because it was announced last week. I mean, he's been kind of vague about it a couple of weeks before that. Edward Douglas, a critic and freelance writer, he writes for ComingSoon.net. He was diagnosed with leukemia, and he's currently undergoing treatment. And, I mean, this is a guy who I hadn't done much reading of for a long while, up until around a couple of years ago. I actually met him at TIFF, and he's, like, one of the nicest guys in the world. Someone, I don't know the guy's name right now. I should have the page up to say. But someone out there went and created a give forward page for him, for people to put into a fund, because apparently, like many film critics out there today, Ed is working without any form of insurance, so he's checked himself into this institution, but of course is worrying about the bills later, so we don't know. And I just wanted to bring it up that if anyone out there is feeling that they'd like to contribute, I'll put a link in the post that you can go and you can put a few dollars towards Ed's his fund. It's already, today I checked, it's already around 86% funded. I mean, it's kind of insane as to how much money people have been giving to this cause, but it is kind of awesome, because this isn't like Rob Thomas coming out there and saying, I want to make a Veronica Mars movie, please give me $2 million. And all the famous people in the world start tweeting it out. This is just some writer for a website who... He's a very established writer. I don't know if you guys have been reading his work at all.
Yeah, I actually follow him on Twitter. I used to read him when I actually read the internet a lot. And actually, so... I recently saw a tweet of his where he talked about the view outside of his hospital room, and I thought to myself, what's that about? Until you said it a while ago, I had no clue that he was, you know, well, clearly I knew something was wrong a little bit, but I didn't know exactly what was going on.
And I mean, he definitely does seem in very high spirits. I was talking with him over email the other day, and he's still at it. He's still pissed that he's not going to see Iron Man 3 because he's in the hospital.
tell him, you know, we have sources. He can watch it pretty soon.
So yeah, I just wanted to bring that up at the top for, you know, just anyone out there who's interested in helping out.
For once, some real issues are being dealt with, not just us arguing about stupid movies. Yeah, leukemia is no joke. I've had to visit people in the hospital with leukemia before, and the treatment is miserable, and what is even more miserable is spending time at the hospital. So I cannot imagine that being compounded with financial worries. So if you have anything at all to give, please help, because hospitals are the worst. leukemia doesn't make that process any any smoother.
So, in the true form of all unnamed movie podcasts.
Anyways.
That was a special, Ed Douglas. Anyways,
beautiful transition. Timeless classic.
This week, we kind of wanted to talk about summer movies and summer blockbusters. And because of that, Damien said to us, Andrew and Douglas, we need to revisit these fantastic movies. Because 20 years ago, we got to see Jurassic Park. And 10 years ago, we got to see Finding Nemo. Two of the greatest films ever released. I hope I can say that.
I'm going to stop you right there. one of them is one of the greatest films ever released. The other one is pretty good.
I'm afraid to ask which one.
The Finding Nemo is great. The Jurassic Park is pretty good.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
So Damien, yes. you brought this to the table. Yes. I want you to kick this off.
Right. So I went only as far back as 20 years ago because most of us in this on this podcast weren't born 30
There's
years ago.
There's one of us.
30 years ago.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
In fact, none of us were born 30 years ago. not a one of us. And even so, even if in some hypothetical world we were alive, we wouldn't have gone to watch some of blockbusters because we'd have been babies. So I chose 10 and 20 years. And it was surprising that Finding Nemo 10 years ago was the biggest summer movie. And not so surprising that Jurassic Park biggest movie.
But yeah, I'm extremely surprised about Finding Nemo.
Not surprised because the movie isn't worth it. Just surprised that a movie that good, because a lot of garbage came out that summer, like Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, it didn't. Pirates of the Caribbean did not come out with Finding Nemo.
Yes.
Finding Nemo was that year?
Yep.
No.
Douglas Robinson. No. The internet.
What? I remember taking Nicholas to watch that movie and thinking, this is going to be a stupid movie. I'll just fall asleep. And then, oh, it's Pirates of the Caribbean. Awesome.
Pirates.
Oh, Pirates, yeah. That was, yeah.
The first one is pretty good.
It was
and
great.
Then they ran that shit into the ground. Thank you, Gore Verbinski. But then he did give me Rango. I'm going to Rango is pretty so good.
Are you giving everything Django sounds now?
They should have had that Django song in Rango. I would have made it a little better.
And now anyways, we're talking about
Lone Ranger, which for fuck's sake. So I remember 20 years ago graduating and my parents brought me to watch Jurassic Park, which was a terrible idea. A terrible, terrible idea. Turns out you shouldn't bring small children to watch monsters eat other things. Watching it again this week, because I hadn't seen Jurassic Park in maybe 10 years. It's been a long time. And so when I watched it, I realized how, like, I just marvel at the fact that they were able to make these things look and move and animate this well, despite having essentially calculators to program these things. Sure, a lot of it was them actually building some of these creatures, but the first time when you get to the park and you see that shot where all the dinosaurs are running on the ground and you go, holy shit, someone, in fact, a large group of people must have sat down with their calculators and did just an unbelievable amount of work. And that movie, in terms of sheer spectacle, I think the only movie to have more reverence than this that has come out after is probably The Matrix. The Matrix is the only other movie I can think about where everyone points to and say that when they saw it, they can remember where they were when they saw it and how amazed they were.
Actually, you know what movie, and you might argue with me, and a lot of people might, I put in that category as well, is Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah. Lilo Dallas Multipass. That's not what we're talking about.
But just as a side note, to keep with Douglas for a second, while I was doing a lot of reading for my list to come later, did you guys know that The Fifth Element was a financial flop?
Yes, I did. That
is why so many people don't know of it.
I just assume based on the fact that everyone that I talk to knows of The Fifth Element.
It's one of those movies. You know what else was a financial flop? Three Amigos. But that's like a huge, in terms of, you know, fan base and at least not necessarily the amount of fans, but the veracity, whatever, of those fans. Same thing with The Big Lebowski. That was a flop as well.
You see, with The Big Lebowski and The Three Amigos, for some reason, I can kind of see those as flops.
Yeah, that's
but when
true.
I see Fifth Element and I see Bruce Willis, explosions, space, and then everyone I know talks about it, I kind of just assumed it made its money.
If you watch the trailer for Fifth Element, you'll realize why that movie didn't make any money. Because it doesn't look... The movie that they gave us and that trailer is completely different. But watching Jurassic Park again, two things jumped out immediately. The story in Jurassic Park is bad. And I understand that we all love the movie. But the story is real dumb. But that is a minor issue.
I'm trying to kill Damien with my eyes right now.
I'm typing in the kill code into the internet right now.
Hold on. There are some acting from small children that is the absolute worst.
Side note, did you know that the boy is in the new G.I. Joe movie?
Burns.
No, I did not.
Why on earth would I have known that, Andrew? In what world do you think that is information that I would have found out?
Because it was in my head, and I thought I should say it.
Thank you. Thank you. But then you look at the movie, and the movie is spectacular. In the Blu-ray is... Holy shit. Holy shit, that movie. That movie looks... Like, we were talking about Oblivion before this started. And it is on that level. It is gorgeous to look at. And you just, like, nothing matters once you see a T-Rex bite a car. You just go, oh, this is awesome. And then the movie ends, you go, this might be the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. But that T-Rex is fantastic. And just watching the movie, I'm just constantly blown up. I'm like, oh, this is why summer blockbusters are a thing. It's because... You let everybody know, alright, summer is coming up. We've just spent all the money in the world. And we want you to come and look at this. Because even we are surprised that we were able to get this shit on screen. And you go and you sit down and you go, the Michael Bay Transformers movies are across the board garbage. The last one, though, had the scene where the guys were jumping out of the helicopters to, like, fly down. I remember when I saw that at home, I went, I should have gone to the theaters to watch this. Because I can only imagine how awesome that would have looked.
That's the thing about Michael Bay, you know. Generally, he understands brings you horrible movies, right? But generally, you look at them, and while you have standout... I guess you would call them good bad movies. Mm-hmm. Like the two big ones, well, the three big ones that I think of are Bad Boys,
Armageddon,
and The Rock. Yes. Right. But with the Transformers, no matter how horrible they are,
right,
you just watch them. And I think even the second one, because I kind of have some sort of affinity for number one and number three. But even the second one and all of them combined, and any movie he's really been a part of, it's always a visual spectacle.
When you see the crazy shit
Pearl Harbor.
He gets.
I forgot about that one.
Well, when they were actually doing the attacking portions of Pearl Harbor, when the planes were swooping in and blowing up shit, that was spectacular. And in all his movies, and so that is what you pay for. You go, all right, I'm going to sit down. I want you to distract me for however long this movie takes. I'm going to turn off my brain. Because you know what, if you go into a summer blockbuster and you're expecting the world, then it's probably a Chris Nolan movie, eh? Or you're a crazy person. Because that's not how it works. And Jurassic Park, a lot of people gloss over the fact that some of the acting is bad. A lot of that story is bad.
What you talking about? What is...
But the movie is so beautiful to look at. And I can only... Like, I kind of remember what I thought about the movie 20 years ago. But, looking at it now, I can... 20 years ago, before all of this shit that we have now, before Transformers, before just seeing that they had dinosaurs on the screen,
mm-hmm.
was amazing. And that is why that movie made more money than any other movie. Because if you walked into a theater and you said, I don't know if you know this. I know you've come here to watch some shit. But if you go into that room, there's dinosaurs on the screen. You're going to go, all right. And I want you to think I'm going to watch the one with the dinosaurs. And I think that is amazing. And for 10 years later, for the biggest movie of the summer to be Finding Nemo. Like, Nemo didn't do anything that new. Toy Story was already out.
Toy Story was out a good...
Right.
I was still in prep school when Toy Story came out. So that's at least 10 years before,
it's not the
I
first
think.
Time that you saw a computer animated anything on the screen.
Yeah.
And I think quality was the thing that brought... Because every child that saw Finding Nemo wanted to watch that movie again. That movie,
of course.
And parents could watch it because...
Because it's a good movie.
Oh, God, that movie. The starting of that movie is so crushingly sad.
Dude, I'm pretty sure... Well, I've been saying this a lot lately. I really must stop with this Corporate Douglas because Corporate Douglas seems to watch cable. Mm-hmm. But I saw that movie on TV recently and I was just stuck in front of the TV for a good 15 minutes before I had to leave and do whatever I wanted to do or had to do. So and I was just like, huh? I mean, that movie is just so good.
The movie starts out on a low note. And you go, are these people, are they aware that this movie is for children? And then the movie takes you on this grand adventure with hippie turtles, which...
Oh, that was great.
That is amazing.
By the way, speaking of do you know this, do you know that there's a part two to that movie coming out now?
So I hear.
Finding Dora?
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks lame, but
yes.
It is Finding Nemo part two. It will be watched.
Pixar.
The only thing which makes me really sad about that sequel idea, well, I'm honestly saying this, I really don't think Monsters University is going to be that good. Pixar has done sequels before and it's worked. You can look at Toy Story franchise and that's awesome.
The best one.
But Finding Nemo, rewatching it today, I feel like it's obvious for me to say that my favorite part, and I think the one part that made me go from saying this is an enjoyable movie to this is a great movie, was Dory, Ellen's character. And so if they do an entire movie where for 80% of it we have no Dory because she's the one who's lost, I'm wondering how great the movie would actually
well,
be.
Well, remember, Andrew, the one thing that I will counter to that argument is that while Nemo was lost, the movie was really split 50-50 between Albert Brooks and Ellen DeGeneres searching for Nemo, and Nemo, whoever he is, trying to escape, right? So you still will have Dory, and she will be probably in the movie for as much as she was in the first movie, I think. She just, what you might not have is her and Albert Brooks. You'll probably have her interact with just random people, random famous people.
Oh, God, I love that movie.
Yeah, that movie was great.
So good. So, I mean, and like nowadays we talk about, how sequelitis and how none of the biggest movies are based on other properties.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. But 20 years ago, Jurassic Park did not materialize out of Steven Spielberg's head. There is a book.
Yes, that's true. But wait, do you count books or making books into movies part of sequelitis? Because a lot of what we consider to be great original movies are books. Look at The Godfather. No, that's a prime example.
That's not the argument. Okay, a lot of people, the complaint that is being fostered now is that the big movies are toys. So Hasbro, you know, Transformers and Monopoly and what was that last one with Rihanna? And comic books.
Battle right? shits.
Right. Comic books make sense. For years and years, you couldn't put comic books in movie form because the technology just wasn't there. But when you read a comic book, the whole time you're reading it, you're going, if only this shit was on the screen, it would be amazing. And now we have the technology. And comic books sold for, 80 years before we could make a good comic book movie? Pretty sure we're going to milk that for as long as humanly possible.
Oh, of course. And I think it's fantastic. Essentially, what they have done, and Marvel in particular...
Disney.
When Disney. It's Disney, no, but for a long time, it was Marvel by itself, even when the movies were being made, okay? Is they're doing exactly what they did with their comic books. They are creating a universe of films, of properties that can interact with each other.
And that they will reboot when it is time.
Well, yeah, clearly they will. But I just love that it's a never-ending story. It's something that can continue. They have an infinite...
evil people.
Exactly. And even before they start to get into new territory, which I hope they kind of do get into, which would be great. I would love to see like a new superhero that doesn't have a comic that comes out of this new medium that they're in. And maybe they make a comic after him, whatever. But the fact is...
Do you know how many comic books they have?
I know. I know. And I was about to say that they have a huge amount of...
New to us. Not... to everybody.
No, 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 no. I would love for them to come up with a proper new...
You're living a fancy land.
I know. But, well, they
look,
have
like Marvel has already announced that they're going to be making Guardians of the Galaxy, which is a comic book which I don't think any of us are familiar with.
Speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy, for those of you who actually listen to this podcast... last week you would have heard Andrew, or I hope you would have heard Andrew, he may have cut it out, speaking about a certain Patton Oswalt rant where he described what Andrew called his fantasy for the next Star Wars film. Andrew, well, I would just like
to... First of all, before you go any further, when you say his, are you talking about me or Patton?
I'm talking about both of you, actually.
Yeah, because you're on board.
Yeah, you said you were on board. You said that's what you wanted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Direct I want this.
I'm happy that sarcasm doesn't work on you.
I want this.
That was sarcasm?
Continue your point.
Okay. And well, if it was, I apologize, but it did not sound like sarcasm at the time. Damien can back me up here.
I'm
pretty sure not even Patton Oswalt wants that to be the...
Well, no, of course not, because he was being paid to be funny.
Still haven't
but,
read that clip. Still haven't
seen it. Man, it was something.
Yeah, because you guys love Star Wars.
But no, so Andrew, that was lame, right? That story would be horrible.
It's funny because it's ridiculous.
I know, no, I agree. The clip was a little bit hilarious, if not long, but it was meant to be long. But you honestly, you really did sound like you're like, you know what? That sounds like a good plan. It's a joke,
all,
but
sir.
I love it.
I apologize if you misinterpreted me. I was only enjoying how ridiculous it was and laughing with Patton. And if anyone in Marvel actually went and said, good, we have a template, I want that person shot.
At this point, Marvel could put out pretty much anything.
Yeah, they could.
It would make money.
Yeah, they could.
As long as they call ILM. Hey, guys, we need pretty shit on the screen. We can handle that. And now that they're both owned by Disney...
And both directed by the same person.
Yep.
Well, sorry, when I said both, Star Trek and Star Wars is now are now under
the
helm of J.J.
Star Trek isn't under Disney, is
it's
it?
It's under J.J. Abrams.
Okay, because Star Trek is Paramount.
Yeah, I know.
But anyways, we're going way off course at this point.
So, Finding Nemo is a good one. Jurassic Park is okay, but is as summer blockbusters go, Jurassic Park is a true summer blockbuster. Finding Nemo was just a fantastic movie Pixar put out that made a unbelievable amount of money, close to $1 billion. And you guys said that you're, you know, kind of worried because Pixar no longer has their perfect track record. They lost that.
They're releasing they Planes Wall-E. This summer.
They lost that once they put out Wall-E for me, but
fuck whatever. You.
And then they put out Cars 2, and people don't like. Was it Brave?
Yeah, that movie's not good.
People don't like Brave.
I saw that movie recently.
I like Brave.
Not no.
I like it a lot.
No, a lot.
I like it a lot.
Not even like, well, it's okay.
I like it.
No,
and,
that's horrible.
I like it and Tangled about the same.
I would say Tangled is alright. Brave is definitely on the
and
bad
I still
side
think
of things.
Wreck-It Ralph is better than both of those.
Oh, I haven't watched that one yet. That's DreamWorks, right?
Brave is awesome.
Brave is not awesome. What the hell is wrong with you people?
How to Train Your Dragon comes out next year, guys.
Yes, I will enjoy that one, I hope.
Not if it's anything like the cartoons that they've been putting out. You
well, those
they
those,
did the same for
Panda
Kung Fu Panda, and those movies
yeah.
are
oh, yeah,
still
Kung
great.
Fu Panda 2 was pretty good.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I love is, Kung Fu Panda 1, can I tell
Douglas
you?
Douglas Robinson, if you enjoy anything Kung Fu Panda,
yeah.
you have to watch part 2.
Alright, fair enough. I shall. Glorious. I will get on it.
Oh, God, it's so fun.
I can't believe... I think Andrew forced me to watch it one day, and I was like, Andrew, it's fucking Jack Black. Yeah, it's computer. It's CG. What the hell? And Andrew was like, no, you have to watch
Shut
this.
Up.
And he... Somehow, usually it doesn't work out this way, but he turned out to be right.
Yeah,
yeah.
It does. It happens once every
6 months.
Year, 2 years, something like that. So going forward, what I think is kind of amazing is that a movie like Finding Nemo and a movie like Jurassic Park won't ever win the blockbuster again. Those days are over. You can't make dinosaurs. And nothing, no cartoon movie is going to win summer. It's never going to happen again. As long as there's comic book movies to come out, which there will forever, and Fast and the Furious movies to come out, which there will forever. As long as those things exist, a movie about animals. I mean, they put out Planet of the Apes recently, and that didn't even come close. And it's not like if they reboot Jurassic Park they'll be able to do anything that we haven't seen already. And the only way this happens is if Avatar 2 comes out in summer and does gangbusters, which
it should.
The last one made more money than anyone has ever even heard of. And I was looking at both these movies. I'm going, well, Nemo is... It is spectacle, but it is not... It is not like Jurassic Park. It is not the traditional type of spectacle that you go and pay for. You want to see shit blow up. You want to see good fighting evil. All of those things. And I was thinking, you know... In terms of summer blockbusters, I think Finding Nemo is probably the exception. I think that might... Because I was looking through all the others that dominated. And I think that is the only one that won summer and wasn't the... We're going to blow up as much shit as possible and put all this crazy shit on the screen. And I don't see where that is going to happen again. I'd like it to happen again. But at this point, do you see anything like that? I mean, we haven't had a true Mickey Mouse movie in forever. And I think that might be the only thing. Like, that is the only name I can think of that would garner enough love and, you know, following for people to go, all right, Disney's making proper Mickey Mouse movies. And we're going to go and watch it. We're going to bring all the children and whatever. But I don't think Disney is going to do that. They have Avengers. They have what they wanted from the beginning. They have Iron Man. If you can put out Iron Man, why would you waste your time coming up with a
good can't wait. Good when Disney is that supposed to come out? Hasn't week it come out already in the next States?
Nope.
It's only out in the UK.
It's I 1 week like from now. I hear that Star Trek is out somewhere in the world, and that is making me very angry.
Nope, not out anywhere.
No, the game came out to be timed with releases. I think some European countries might have it. And that is infuriating because I'd like to watch Star Trek now. I've been talking a lot and you guys haven't said jack shit about any of these movies.
That's right.
Douglas Robinson, you are planning to stab me because I may have besmirched the great name of Jurassic Park 1. We're not going to talk about the rest of the Jurassic
Park
franchise.
No, we don't talk about that.
Because there's no
argument
there.
But there were pterodactyls.
There's no argument there. Everything past Jurassic Park 1 was worse than Jurassic Park 1. And I think Jurassic Park 1 is a good movie. So we don't have to have... This is not great. So, Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
Jurassic Park 1. Best movie with dinosaurs.
Best movie with dinosaurs. Easily.
No, easily. No mention for Lost in Time?
No, sorry.
Meet the Robinsons?
No Meet the Robinsons.
What was that TV show where there were dinosaurs?
Dinosaurs, it was called Dinosaurs.
Yes, there was that one.
Really?
Yes.
Are you talking about the one that we
Not
used
the
to
mama.
Watch on
yep.
Fox yeah. where yep. it was, yes, yeah. it's called Dinosaurs.
It was literally called Dinosaurs.
That was awesome.
Because you had to keep it simple for the dumb people that watched television.
I remember thinking about it. I mean, wasn't it just Roseanne with dinosaurs?
Yeah. What happened to the Flintstones? No Flintstones lovers here?
Flintstones
those movies
awesome.
Were fantastic.
I remember watching the Flintstones movie in the drive-in.
Wow. I forget that there were Flintstones
yes,
movies.
Yes, you did.
The first one, actually, I enjoyed because...
Because you were a child.
Because I was a child.
And you have no sense.
I think I have had inklings that there are other ones,
yeah,
but I have steered away from
more.
Them.
For good reason, Douglas.
Yes.
There are some of the worst things that have happened. I'm pretty sure if we start trying people for making terrible movies, that one is going... that's like a life sentence.
Yeah.
That's holy shit.
Yeah. I'm sure they are, but the so I'm not sure what we're supposed to talk about for these blockbusters, but here's what I will say. Jurassic Park is great. Visually, mm-hmm. it was just spectacular, especially when you consider, as you say, the the tools that they had to
because
play with.
They were literally using like sticks. I like our flashing light. I don't understand how they got this done.
And while I will agree with Damien that the story is not extremely intellectual, right?
I like that.
It is a great story. It, you know, it's just a very nice, straightforward action mm-hmm. movie, which when Steven Spielberg gets down to it, because he's made a couple action movies in his time, he does very well. No, we don't talk about his bad ones because
no,
what?
He gets a free pass.
Everybody gets exactly.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
Steven, if there's one director that you will ignore the terrible things he's done, it's Steven Spielberg.
Thank you. But he knows how to jazz up his audience. He knows how to get his audience on board with a movie. And he does it so well in this one. This one, I mean, you're introduced to this grand event, this grand park with literally never before seen spectacles. And of course it all goes wrong.
Yes, it does.
And it goes wrong horribly in the most dramatic way that it can with dinosaurs. Okay? And
clever girl.
Yes, that's fair.
There's
fantastic.
A couple of things there that someone with sense. Mm-hmm. If it weren't a movie.
Yeah.
Right? And someone who was smart enough to reanimate goddamn dinosaurs
mm-hmm.
would have gone, maybe we shouldn't do any of
Raptors.
This. And they would have gone off that island 2 minutes after the shit hits the fan. But they decided not to.
No, after the shit hits the fan, there's no way to get off the island.
How did they end up getting off the island again, Douglas?
I don't remember. I'm sure helicopters came because they called, right. But they couldn't get out because nobody could fly anything out.
Douglas, you really should go rewatch this movie.
All the people with the requisite skills were either non-existent or killed. Yes.
They were too busy in a Michael Bay movie. Okay, move on.
Too busy in a Summer movie.
But this
and the child actors are so bad.
Yeah, but they're child actors. That's expected.
No, that's expected.
No, it's no longer an excuse because now in 2013 we have children who are grown and are in a laboratory for specifically this purpose. However, that process started after Jurassic Park. Okay?
Fair enough. That's a poor complaint. I retract that one.
But this film, it ticks all the right boxes, and the other boxes that you clearly seem to be looking for, like intelligent script and... top-notch acting and Shakespearean training they're not required. let me counter any argument you may have with 2012.
What about 2012?
The movie.
I love that movie.
I know you do. Now shut the fuck up. Right?
Douglas Sorens, when we spoke about that movie, I remember saying that there are bad things about
the
movie.
Yes, I know. Does that diminish your lovingness of that movie?
And I didn't say that Jurassic Park was a bad movie. None of you heard
it. I heard it.
I just heard it.
God damn it. Tricked again.
Jurassic Park, I mean, that will be one of my favorite movies ever.
When was the last time you saw it?
Honestly? Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, probably.
Fair enough. Touché.
Yeah. That movie is just great. And Laura Dern, I mean, for her to go from Blue Valentine to this, that's just wow.
I'm sure you mean Blue Velvet.
Thank you. Yes, I do mean Blue Velvet.
From her to... travel through path to view space and time to not be in this movie in the future. Coming to this movie in the past.
Yes.
Yep. That is exactly what he meant.
Yeah, that is exactly what I meant. On the other hand, you have
the finding
kind of the underdog, the
I don't know about that.
The unexpected blockbuster of Finding Again, Nemo. No, no, no.
When
that
Pixar
was
put, even back no, then, when Pixar put out movies, they locked down.
I don't know. Even
it's summer and I need to bring my kids to a movie. Pixar, and you go to Pixar movies.
I hear you, but blockbuster is not a word that I would generally ascribe to children's movies. And let me tell you what,
you've never heard of The Lion King.
I know, but hold on. You know why I say that? It's not because I don't believe that kids' movies in the summer won't do well. Of course they'll do. No, it's because nowadays, when you hear the word blockbuster, immediately you think about 2012, you think about Jurassic Park, you think about Transformers. Oblivion, Transformers, movies where things blow up.
Right, Pain and Gain. I'll be great at
movies where, you know, you have heroes and you have villains. That's the type of movie that I think of as a summer blockbuster. So for you to say a name like Finding Nemo, it doesn't ring true in my ears. But I suppose, you know, you're right. It is a blockbuster. It did great in terms of dollar figures. And it came out in the right, you know, season. So therefore, it is a blockbuster that came out in the summer. That movie is on the other end of the spectrum now. Because as you rightly said before, it is a genuinely good movie. It hits all the right chords. It's comedic. It has some great great scenes, some great jokes. It is dramatic. It has it's almost a precursor to Up, because Up kind of went a little bit further on the dramatic front, right? But this has some truly genuine and truly, like, tear-jerking moments in Finding Nemo. And it also has a dash of almost action in it. You know, when you talk about the turtles, you know, you see the sharks that get involved. And it has, again, almost, because remember this is a children's movie, almost suspense with, you know, Willem Dafoe in the the aquarium, the tank, trying to get out. And it's just this movie touches on so many different chords.
Guys, this movie was so good they put out Shark Tale the year after, and the whole world was
But honestly, though, I think that was not Pixar. That was DreamWorks. Pixar,
right?
I believe.
No, Hollywood put out Shark, and everybody.
Will Smith. Will Smith was
and it made
yeah.
it both oh my goodness. Money, of course. Mm.
I think myself and Andrew actually went to watch that movie. Isn't that correct?
Inside Character.
I'm not sure if I saw it in a theater.
Yeah, you did, because I went with you.
I remember when that movie was coming out, because they had
Katie Tarantino
and some
was in
other
it.
People.
Yeah, like, not Tarantino. I mean Scorsese. That's what I meant. Sorry. Yeah.
And so they had it on like all the morning shows, and they had Will Smith doing tours, and they're like, "Yes, this is." And then I sat down in the theater and went, could have just saw Finding Nemo again. Not done this. And go and watch Finding Nemo again. And Shark Tale, soon to be forgotten. I think the three of us here, for like 5 years from now, will be the only people on earth that will remember what Shark Tale was. Will Smith was in a movie called Shark Tale? And then you look at the post and, what the fuck? Anyways.
You know what your top five list should have been?
What?
Top five summer blockbusters that were actually good movies. Because how many movies that are summer blockbusters can you say are really good? Or even, let's not go from good, because good is all subjective. And for me and you, a lot of the summer blockbusters are good movies because we love that shit. But
how's the radio?
Exactly. But how many movies are summer blockbusters that are as good and technically sound as Finding Nemo? I don't think there are very many.
There's not a lot.
Those movies which feel Chris like summer blockbusters and are actually good generally don't come out in the summer.
Exactly. Right. So all the
when you think about it, like the first movie which came to mind when you said that, I'm like, Skyfall, but that was November. Shit.
The Lord of the Rings were also in November.
Skyfall was in November?
Yes, sir.
Why was that on that
list? Because you're a crazy person that doesn't read or prepare. So yes, Skyfall was in November. No matter how hard you try. Andrew Robinson. What say you on Jurassic Park and Finding Nemo? You'll be the naysayer, right? Fuck these movies.
I'm always the naysayer, aren't I? I'm the one who has to be the sound of reason.
Yeah.
The voice of reason
I
on this podcast.
I think you're milking this too much now. You should just get on with it.
I was rewatching Jurassic Park today, and it's weird that when I'm watching a film like this that it does come off as one of those summer blockbusters where more and more I find myself associating with the awesomeness of set pieces and recognizing the faults of certain in-between moments within this movie. And yeah, that is generally what summer blockbusters are, but because I have this nostalgic feeling towards Jurassic Park as a movie that I remember my parents taking me to, and I don't know if we've had this conversation, but my mother is someone who hates anything that is any form of scary. But she will take Jurassic Park love to her grave because she was just amazed by this movie. And there are times in this film where it's legitimately scary. I mean, watching the children versus the raptors in the kitchen, that's like I was just going, oh. But
how did the raptors not kill any of those children again?
Because they're children, and that's off limits, sir.
Raptors in history. How did they survive killing other dinosaurs when slow children were too much for them?
Because they don't know the properties of sheet metal.
Don't get to kill children in movies.
And then it's weirdly enough, when you see the death of the gamesman, the hunter guy from the raptor, that, like, you can tell when they switch from practical to CGI in that moment, but somehow the way that it's filmed, I can't really tell if it's perfectly CGI or if it's perfectly practical, what I'm seeing when you actually see the raptor, like, grilling off the gamesman's head, and it's just crazy, like, how great the filmmaking in this movie is. But as I was saying, some of the logic points and a few things which just kind of irked me watching this movie. Like, if you guys remember the scene in which the power goes for the first time and the T-Rex pops out of his cage, for lack of a better term. And is it just me? Because when you see the T-Rex standing up and he comes out of his cage, it looks like they're relatively at ground level, the T-Rexes. They're at the same ground level as the guys in the cars, right? Am I wrong?
No.
Hello?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
No, when you see that shot of the T-Rex coming out, it looks like they're all on the same level for some reason. Because even though the T-Rex is massively tall, like...
Right. I guess...
But of course, the shot that everyone remembers is when they go over the edge to go into the T-Rex cage running away, right, that they then have to dive down like 1,000 feet or I don't know the number. I'm making up a number. Yeah.
That's what you mean.
Okay, right.
But, you have to remember, though, and yes, no, this is in defense of Steven Spielberg. Mm-hmm. You have to remember that T-Rexes are rather large. So for that kind of a step, for them might not be that high.
But when you see the T-Rex like chasing down,
the fall that they at the end of that scene, like the fall, what he's saying is that
when they're in
the pit, you can see essentially the head of the T-Rex, but then they drop for like 1,000,000,000 feet and then the T-Rex is just there. Okay, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
And it's just small things like that where it kind of just irked me a little bit. And there are a few others in there.
Rick Moranis isn't in that movie? It's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and that's why they got so small. And
Rick Moranis.
Sadly enough, just as a side note, since Douglas brought it up, I saw someone tweet this and it made me laugh. Someone was showing their children for the first time Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and she was saying that apparently the children bought that a laser could make the children very tiny, but they couldn't understand why a phone had a cord on it.
Like, this is bullshit. That never happened. Why is the phone attached to the wall, mommy? What is that cord? Is it to keep the phone safe?
Where are the buttons?
What's
that?
Why isn't there a screen that I can play Angry Birds on? But yeah, anyways, when it comes to Jurassic Park, when I still think of those set pieces, it's still great. I mean, even talking further on the whole in the T-Rex pit area, I still adore that sequence when they're just simply climbing down a tree, racing the car, falling on top of them. It's so great. And it's a movie where I don't think I can ever be 100% critical of, because it was one of those movies for me. It was one of those movies where that was a movie that I went to, is it MC Mart, what's it called, the one in Ligani, where they were selling bootleg VHS tapes before I knew that it was bootleg VHS tapes.
Oh,
I bought Jurassic
C-Mart.
Park.
Yes,
C-Mart.
Reading
and
store.
Bought a VHS tape of Jurassic Park and watched that movie repeatedly as a child.
I didn't have to add bootleg cable and I brought that all like nonstop every day. Just Jurassic Park on DirecTV, which we didn't have.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I remember those days.
I think the tape cost me like $200 at the time.
Which is like $1 billion.
Especially to a 10-year-old.
All of the money in the world. This is what this costs. And Finding Nemo. You hate
Finding Nemo is downright perfect. Right? Because if you weren't on board from the beginning, from the opening sequence of this movie where he's left with Nemo alone, once the movie actually takes you away and you finally meet Dory, you get one of the most lovely scenes you've ever seen in a movie. Because watching it now, knowing what the movie was and what Dory was, like, I understood what was going to happen, and I saw it coming a mile away, but it still made me laugh and still made me enjoy it. As Dory says, look, I'm going to help you, we're going this way. And then 2 seconds later, you can see the character has changed tactics. She's now, instead of thinking that this person is following her, this person is chasing her for some reason or another, and gets all evasive and then aggressive and then confrontational. And then you have to watch Albert Brooks just try and understand what he's dealing with. And when you see that repeated into every scenario that we're going into through this movie, from the jellyfish to the, I don't know what to call them, the school of fish which makes shapes, which is like one of the funniest scenes in this movie for me. It's just great. And I guess at the end of the day, I love the message of it even more. I mean, the idea that people need to stop being afraid of their little areas and go out and just trust people. Just think that the world isn't as horrible a place as it is. And that's
those
just
people
fantastic.
Don't watch the news.
Under the ocean, they don't have news. Wicked,
when you're unwanted, streets are uneven. When you're down, when you're strained, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone.
Last week, I was asking people.
Can we put that in? We need to. Fair use is 15 seconds, right?
You
don't need 15 seconds. You have to put that in.
Listen, I break fair use every day.
I follow Questlove. I can ask him. I can ask him on Twitter.
You have to put the questions up.
Wait, sorry.
That's
common. Sorry. Yeah. But Questlove knows common, so yeah.
All of them is the same.
Yeah, exactly.
The roots.
Last week I was asking people about actors that they've turned the corner on, that they've gone from not liking or hating, as far as we can think, to liking or loving, and the internet responded. Peter Labuza, the host of the Cinephiliacs podcast, announced Jason Statham, stating that the first movie he ever saw from him was a Transporter and was not a fan. I mean,
what? If anything, I've gone the other way. Jesus, keeps coming in garbage. I do not want to see.
Yeah, that's a little concerning.
When you start out with best one?
Well, first of all, that wasn't his start. For me,
starts out.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
That's like the best one.
But
come on.
Yeah, I really want to hear this, how this progresses.
Yeah,
Andrew, please continue.
Started out with greatness, then watch garbage and like it. All right, fine.
I guess that's how it went, because that's all I got out of him.
Oh, that asshole.
Because literally all he said was Statham, and I'm like, really? Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels didn't work for you? Assuming he then saw a Transporter and loved it, right? And then he went, no, I started out with a Transporter, and I'm like, oh.
Oh, I don't need to talk to you anymore.
Because I mean, as Andrew says, right? Actually, Lockstock wasn't my first. My first was Snatch with Jason, or at least the first that I remember. Because apparently, I watched the one, and only recently when I rewatched it, realized that he was in it.
The movie's so bad.
Yes, it is.
I saw that movie. I paid money to go watch Jet Li kick people in the air.
Yep.
God, that movie's terrible.
Yep. Actually, though, now that I think about it, I think I watched it after Snatch. But Snatch was the first thing that I saw him in and remember him from. And I remember thinking, just because that movie was so great that by
association,
he was great as well. I followed that up with eventually Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, and then Transporter, and it was locked in for me. I as I'm sure you have, based on your comments today, have kind of fallen out of love with this man for, you know, many a reason. There's Death Race. There is
Until Crank 3 comes out, Douglas.
There's all sorts of things.
What was that terrible one that we
Blitz?
There's one where he was on us. Well, I was going to say there is one when he's
at the mechanic.
Yeah, the mechanic, and he ruined Ben Foster. He took him
Ben
down
Foster is so good. I will not watch that movie for that reason.
Fuck that movie,
man. All right, listen. Whenever you think of Ben Foster, just think 3:10 to Yuma.
That is
3:10 to Yuma.
That is all. That's literally what I do.
You know what
I
he's
think
great
of the
into?
Messenger.
Yeah, well, I haven't watched that movie. He looks great in that. But again, another bit part that he's in that the movie, well, I love the movie, but other people may not, where he's just a great character and just out of this world is 30 Days of Night. I love him in that movie. He is
a
crazy...
He's in it for like 2 minutes, though.
I know he's in it for 2 minutes. As I said, it's a bit character. You've never seen that movie?
But
well, it's a horror movie, so I understand that. But I really like
that movie.
It's
also based on a comic book.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the few Josh Hartnett movies that turned me around on him.
Nope. I'm already out.
Shut up. He's in Sin City. He's fantastic in Sin City. For the 2 seconds he's in there.
Just the Josh Hartnett son.
But Josh Hartnett has done some good things. Have you watched Lucky Number 11?
Yes.
That movie is great.
That is great.
That's Josh Hartnett.
I understand that.
All right.
It was in
a movie
where he raped a girl with a floor.
Is that Cruel Intentions?
No.
What the hell is that?
There's this movie where he was...
30... Days and 30 Nights.
I
saw that movie. That was horrible.
The celibacy movie?
Huh?
The celibacy movie?
Yes, that one.
Yes, 40 days.
I've only seen like a scene where, maybe like a setup scene where he says like, "I'm not going to," and I'm like, "Yeah, I can click off."
And then he was in a movie with Han Solo.
Oh God, is that the news movie? No, it's not.
No,
actually, all right. So I have to admit,
is that the one on Douglas's shelf?
Yes, it is. That's one of my guilty pleasures. I do enjoy that movie. I know I should not, I do.
But anyways, moving on. The next answer I want to bring up is Marcus Irving 317 answers Ray Liotta, stated that the movie that turned the corner for him was a combination of Goodfellas and Revolver.
But how? First of all, Revolver is horrible. Second of all, how long has he been watching movies that Goodfellas, which I'm pretty sure came out in like the early 80s, no, early 90s, no?
Mm-hmm.
Is the movie that turned him around.
Because you grow up and you don't watch good movies.
Oh, okay,
and
fair
then
enough.
You start
all
watching
right,
good
right.
movies.
I hear you.
And you go, oh, he was good at this. Oh, right.
I'm pretty sure
he just doesn't come in.
That's the only
garbage.
Movie that he was good in for the whole movie.
Because you're thinking chronologic, but remember, the only reason we've seen a lot of these movies is because we've made a special effort.
That's true.
If
and
only watch
also,
like Cinemax and HBO, and you watch what they have on Saturdays, then a lot of these actors might look like.
That's true. And we also suffer from that to some extent. So,
that's true.
Andrew Johnson from over at the Film Geek Radio.
Andrew Johnson?
No, not him. brought up Channing Tatum, stating that 21 Jump Street did it for him. And I have to agree with him.
No,
I'm with him there.
No.
All right, guys,
21 Jump
just
Street and Magic Mike
does not mean that. Oh, Magic Mike. All right, fair enough.
The
I
Eagle.
Watch that one.
21 Jump Street. Magic Mike.
The Eagle?
The Eagle. Yeah.
The Eagle is good?
It's okay.
Okay.
Channing Tatum was in it, so it should have been garbage.
It looked like it was garbage.
It was not garbage. What's the one where he gets his ass kicked? From
Soderbergh. Yeah. Haywire, is that it?
Right. So watching him in those, I go, I think I might have it wrong. But then I remember the things that he was in, and then I go, no, I am correct. I'm still correct. He's still bad.
We'll
find out if... so my favorite director of all time
Chris
is putting out a movie this summer where Channing Tatum defends the White House.
Which director is this?
Roland Emmerich.
Oh,
White House down. Oh, it looks so crazily awesome.
It's putting up White House. Now, if I can, if I like that movie, which I suspect I will, because Emmerich knows what he's doing. If I enjoy that movie, then I'll know if I can give Channing Tatum a pass. But at present, he's 50-50, but then I remember what he did. I remember what he did in a previous life. I remember 50-50 good, 50-50 bad.
You realize he is a pioneer in the step up.
And that
Douglas,
is why.
Douglas, you like actors who have gone through worse lines of worse lines to get to fame to then become a good actor.
No, yes you do.
Like, come on, bring it on.
don't do this thing. This thing that you're trying to do. You need four legs.
And I barely have one, right?
If I kick away any more legs, you'll fall.
Alright, fair enough.
This is too easy. This is literally too easy.
Andrew, I believe you are telling us about other people's answers.
Dylan Fields, the co-creator of ManILoveFilms.com, brought up George Clooney, claiming that the film that kind of did it for him was From Dusk Till Dawn.
Wow. That's a film to go on. All right.
Did they
kinda,
hear the question right?
I kind of like From Dusk Till Dawn.
No, you don't.
Yes, I
no,
do.
Let me tell you.
It does have Quentin Tarantino in it.
Let me tell you about this.
I will fight everybody in the world on this.
The thing about this movie is, though, it's like one of those movies. I understand why people will like it because it's just ridiculous.
No, you don't, Douglas.
But it's hard for me to honestly say that a movie like that could turn around my feelings on an actor.
Douglas.
It's hard.
Douglas, you don't understand why anyone would... Because there's literally nothing about that movie that is...
And Damien, do you like 2012?
Yes.
So it's the same
thing. No. First of all, how dare you?
Before we devolve into further Roland Emmerich discussions.
No. For you to say... you know this performance from George Clooney when he and everybody else in this movie is terrible. That is the one that made me go, oh no, he's good. He's good at acting now. When he's at his worst. You can't. George Clooney would disown that movie if he could. The only reason that movie is still talked about today is because you legally aren't able to erase movies from history. That movie's garbage. I've never heard anybody say they like that movie. Nowhere.
I like that movie.
You're a liar. You like Quentin Tarantino. And you like the fact that he's in
that
movie.
And Stripper Salma Hayek.
You're a crazy. The movie's so unbelievably bad. Alright, other answers.
Scott Mendelson from Mendelson Memos and also a contributor to Forbes brought up, and I'm going to be honest, this is the one that I kind of don't even know where to start. Halle Berry with Things We Lost in the File.
Is that the one with Benicio Del Toro?
No. Yep.
What? Okay, can we just block him? We need to... All right. The Tomp needs to have like a block list, right? Sure. On these questions, he is now officially blocked. Sure. I nominate that notion. Does anybody second that?
I'm second and third.
Thank you. Okay. All right.
Her breasts were good in
Swordfish,
and then she was in Monsters Ball, which. I didn't even know she could act until I saw her in that movie. But then she comes in just god-awful movies, kind of non-stop. Even this year, she's in The Call and Movie 43, which, I don't know, guys. I don't think any of you are lying enough to watch either of those movies. I don't know what corner he's talking about that he turned on Halle Berry. But you can't use that movie. Mm-mm. I'm very sorry.
Movies. I honestly can't remember Christ. That movie.
Thank you.
I knew I watched
every
it.
Every star. I don't know why these terrible movies are pinned into my brain. I guess because I watch a lot of them.
At Bobby Bless 219 brings up Donald Logue because Terriers was awesome.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Quality picks, young man.
Yeah. He's been in some bad movies, though.
No one cares.
Man. But he was in like Blade. Him. Yeah. Was he? Oh, yep. Oh, wow.
The first one, he got his arm chopped off and then was kicked into
a shit, ring. Yes, he was in Blade. Christ, I forgot about that.
You know, he was in a really bad movie. And I'm so sad that this movie was bad because it was recommended to me by someone who I generally think likes good movies. It's called The Dow of Steve. Has either of you even heard of this movie?
No, I don't even know what it is.
That movie's horrible.
Making up things. Just because you know you can't get away with it doesn't mean you should. Right? I don't even want to fact check this. Just stop making shit up, right? British movie TV show names.
No, this is actually an American movie.
This, come on, Douglas, you better than that.
So giving more Tump approved responses, at Rachel_is_hair, Rachel West brings up Sam Rockwell, who she was iffy on until, of course, Moon came out.
Wow, that's a long time to be iffy on Sam Rockwell.
Choke was fantastic. In fact, Sam Rockwell.
Do you like Choke, Damian? Like, I remember thinking that Sam Rockwell was awesome in it, but I don't remember loving that movie.
I absolutely love that movie.
I need to watch it again. I remember being a little bit on the fence when I first watched it, but that's definitely a two-timer. Mm-hmm. You have to do that. But Sam Rockwell, I mean, even from his early days, even when he was thug number two in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you could see that he was, you know, something special.
Oh, Douglas, please
even
stop
when,
up that
even when
Teenage
he was, when, even when he was Rockwell. Boyfriend in the public service announcement for
is he on the IMDb page, Damian?
No, he's not. This is Douglas. Douglas's knowledge of Sam Rockwell is kind of amazing.
Like, when I try to think about, like, the earliest Sam Rockwell movie where I knew I was watching Sam Rockwell, I think it was Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
That movie was fantastic.
I'm going to need to read.
Unfortunately, I didn't like that movie the first time I watched it, but I've seen it since and just...
I saw that movie.
I love that movie.
I did not understand what...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I think that came out right after Ocean's 11. And because George Clooney was in it, directed it, mm-hmm. pushed it, I was all like, ooh, yes, Ocean's 11, this will be just the same thing, and was blown away by how dark it was. And that's why I think I didn't like it, because I don't think I had fully developed my craziness yet. But since then, oh my goodness, that's a great movie.
Fully developed.
Yeah.
Yes, I just keep remembering that scene with Julia Roberts with the tea or the coffee, I think.
Yeah. Actually, I watched
that
one
scene
recently.
Actually,
on
blew
TV,
my
yeah.
mind.
Yeah.
From day one, and of course, I left this last response because I know Douglas would agree with it the most. At Film actually brings up Bradley Cooper with Silver Linings Playbook, as
yes,
well
sir.
As The Place Beyond the Pines.
Well, I haven't gotten to watch that one yet, so.
I still say Bradley Cooper has been really good, but that's been it. I think those two are like his first legitimately, like, I don't think anyone can argue good movies.
You are the worst person, Douglas Robinson, for doing this.
Is he the mailman? Is that who he is?
For doing this thing.
So I just IMDb'd Sam Rockwell. And apparently he starred in Strictly Business. Do you remember what movie that is, Andrew? That
no,
movie
I do
stars
not
know. Tom Davidson. You remember Tommy
Davidson?
He's one of these black stand-up comedians from the 80s.
Tommy
also,
Davidson,
Halle Berry.
Yes, I.
And one of the Wayans. Yes. One of the unknown Wayans, I believe. No, it's not a Wayans, but it's
it might as well.
Yeah.
Sam Jackson was in it.
Kim Coles is in it. She was Khadija from Living Single. This movie was horrible. And when I actually watched it when it came out and thought it was fantastic, because I was into like In Living Color and all that shit back then. And I think I remember him now that I see him.
Oh, Tommy Davidson.
I think he was the mailman, the mailboy in the
only movies from this era, the 90 to say 98 black people movie era that I still absolutely love today and have seen enough times.
Oh, so, Eddie Murphy. There must be some Eddie Murphys
in No. Eddie Murphy is before that.
Okay.
I'm talking like that kind of, like mid-tier, terrible black people movie.
Yeah.
Is a low-down dirty shame.
Oh my God.
That movie is tremendous. Oh my God. Love it.
Stamped by the Wayans, yep. Right? Keenan Ivory.
Oh God. And Mrs. Will Smith.
Oh, she's horrible. She's horrible.
She's great in that movie, though.
No, she's not.
Douglas, I will bet she's all of the money.
She's great in that movie the way that bad actresses are great in bad movies that we love.
Douglas,
I mean,
I'm telling you.
I've seen the movie. I
oh, God, I love the movie. We can watch Babs again.
So ending that conversation right there. When you mention Babs, a conversation is over.
Oh my goodness. Booty call, Damien. Booty call. Oh.
Sweet Jesus.
Oh.
What's the one with LL Cool J and...
Oh, In Too Deep?
No, not Into Deep. Delivers from Evil.
Oh, Ava.
Delivers from
Evil. Oh, but that's recent though. That's 90s. Oh, that's late 90s.
So bad. So many of them. So terrible. I know Tyler Perry has taken it one step further.
Yes.
Like, oh, you thought it was bad then? Hold on. Mm-hmm. Have a plan. Mm-hmm. Have a plan to make you think all
of
this.
But yes, we were talking about
Bradley
Cooper.
You don't seem to realize that the peak of it all was Love and Basketball.
Oh, with Sanaa Lathan. Oh my goodness. Yes.
All right. Yes. So, our top five.
Before we get there.
What? More questions?
The next question I want to ask everyone, tying in with our discussion today, is what film are you... Obviously, it's the easiest question. Is what film are you most looking forward to this summer that's going to be coming out?
Oh, I mean, again.
That's not summer, Damien. It's already out. It's not May. Oh, May is summer. So Iron Man and Stoker? I don't know what...
I think for me, that would be... every movie that comes out in the summer that's on my fantasy side. Yeah. That's what I'm looking
forward
to.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not looking forward to Star Trek?
Nope, not on my list.
You can't watch that movie because you can't give it any money.
Exactly. Yo, that's getting a one. I'm letting you know that from now.
What were we... Oh, right. So the question is, what are you looking forward to most? Should it...
Yep.
Can we put what do we? I think the better question is what do we expect to be the best movie of the summer? Not what we're look. Because what I'm looking forward to most is Fast 6.
Yeah, that's up there.
But that is not going to be the best movie of the summer.
Can I tell you? I'm probably. I think Iron Man might be up there enough.
All right.
If we're talking about straight up best,
Star Trek should be the best. I'm going to go straight into
the limited releases.
No. I'm talking about the blockbusters. We don't. Limited releases don't count. Who gives a shit what comes out in limited in the middle of summer? The two hippies that I'm too good to watch summer blockbusters. They're too corporate. Let me go and watch this limited movie because these movies are trying to make money and I'm an idiot. Why would you? No one cares. Nobody cares about limited movies. In fact, they should stop showing them in the summer. It is disrespectful to them. And to the big movies that I have to walk past dirty hippies in order to get to the big
movies. Just because we live in countries where we can't get to see these movies, David, don't mean you need to be
Andrew
hateful.
Robinson, if you think there's a world that exists where Star Trek or Superman or Iron Man is out and I go to the theater and see some limited movie,
so
like Pietro,
Damien,
you think I'm
those,
going to spend my
Damien,
money?
Take those three verses Before Midnight.
Ooh, I forgot about that movie. Before Midnight,
definitely. Listen to me very carefully. There's no limited movie you can think of in the world. Even if it is one of my favorite movies. If you put them up against summer blockbusters, I am not going to watch them. I will wait until they come out. Because I have things... The summer is great because you have things to go and watch. Big things. When you should put out those garbage is the first 4 months of the year. All of them, Stoker and all of that, you put those out early when there's nothing in their way. When I can look and go, there is A Good Day to Die Hard and us and all sorts of shit, and I will go and watch this small film because it should be awesome. When Superman is out and Avengers and when things like that is out, I don't care about anything else. Right? Why would you put that at? The only people that are going to watch those movies are dirty hippies who think they're better than watching a blockbuster. Your critics, 32,
like me. Two were casualties of it since I always wanted rather things for Christmas. The rest were cool. I'm shipping out a torso with the AM. You should learn to hit the organs every time at 40 paces. It's important. I can't explain why now, by the way. Legs in a crate delivery by today. If a uniformed man knock, knock, sign his document, you shouldn't have to walk out to the mailbox for the other shit.
My mom was a lunch lady when I was in elementary school. She was outside during recess. She had a whistle. And I thought that that was cool. She was really nice to all the kids who didn't have a lot of friends. She would give them hugs and tell them jokes, or she'd play catch with them. And my dad worked at the laundromat, which was really cool to me. I'd get to open up the washing machines and clean them out and collect the money. And I'd open the soap dispenser and put new little boxes of soap inside. I knew how it worked and I was good at it, and helping out with a sense of pride. I would meet all kinds of people there, and I would look them in the eye, and I'd say hi.
I told you, people, I don't need a doctor, damn it, I am a doctor.
You need to get back to your seat.
I had one in the bathroom with no windows. I suffer from aviophobia. It means fear of dying.
Sir, for your own safety, sit down, or else I'll make you sit down.
Fine.
Thank you.
This is Captain Pike. We've been clear for takeoff.
I may throw up on you.
I think these things are pretty safe.
Don't pander to me, kid. One tiny crack in the hull and our blood boils in 13 seconds. Solar flare might crop up, cook us in our seats. And wait till you're sitting pretty with a case of Andorian shingles. See if you're still so relaxed when your eyeballs are bleeding. Space is disease and danger wrapped in darkness and silence.
Well, I hate to break this to you, but Starfleet operates in space.
Yeah, well, I've got nowhere else to go. The ex-wife took the whole damn planet in the divorce.
This week, Damien asked us to do our top five blockbusters of all time. Or is it of since we've seen of all of our lives? I don't know what it is.
You would have to see it for it to be on the list, right?
Well, I mean, like, when you kind of say that, you know, that we've seen, I kind of imagine that it was a blockbuster that we experienced in our lifetime, like going to the theater, like Jurassic Park was for us. As opposed to saying Jaws is the greatest blockbuster of all time, but that was before we were all born and we watched it at home on HBO or something.
Why would you think that, Andrew? Why? Well, we've been alive not long enough to have seen all the blockbusters in theaters, and we live in Jamaica, which makes it even more difficult. What are your favorite summer blockbusters?
I will start. Okay, so number five on my list,
Skyfall.
And this will be a recurring theme.
Mm-hmm.
Because, boy, Marvel really has just hit it out of the park with these blockbusters. I think number five on my list is Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire.
You understand that that is not a Marvel movie, right?
It is not it's a movie made by Columbia, but it's a Marvel movie. It's still a movie.
So do you think
think
that Daredevil is a Marvel movie?
Yeah. It's a Marvel it's a movie about a Marvel property. It's a Marvel property.
All right, fine.
I don't mean literally produced by Marvel Inc. You know? Yeah.
Disney should just pay off Sony.
Oh, sorry, Sony. Wait, no, it was Columbia and Sony are the same. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Disney should just go, Sony, whatever you ask. We have to get Spider-Man into this Avengers shit. Please, Sony. And Sony will just look, smile, and go, no.
I'm really happy that Daredevil has passed back to Marvel, because I really think there's a good movie to be made
when
from
God's
Daredevil.
Name was going to renew Daredevil, come on.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Nobody.
A great
Nobody.
Movie, you know, for
Daredevil
Ben Affleck
doesn't have any
reprise
powers.
His role.
It can't
Batman
be a great movie.
Batman doesn't have
but
any
Batman
powers.
Batman has billions of dollars and can build bat jets.
Daredevil Black is a Jet. Daredevil is a lawyer. I'm sure he Black has money.
And that bike with the wheels.
I like that people.
The wrong direction. What
people
are
theorizing that Marvel is going to start seeding in Daredevil quick, and they're going to just have a scene of Matt Murdock as a lawyer popping up, going adjourned, and then they walk away.
If you don't have powers, then you don't make a good.
Iron Man doesn't have powers.
I'm sorry?
He doesn't.
He has a metal suit that makes him fly and shoot rockets.
Yeah, but he doesn't have
that
powers.
That is a power.
Anyways, Damian, you're number 5.
Douglas said Spider-Man 1.
You're going to say Spider-Man 2? Yeah. Awesome.
Spider-Man 1 is the wrong answer, by the way, Douglas.
I use Spider-Man 1 because it introduced me to the universe. And Sam Raimi, I mean, while
Spidey,
he...
Spidey does.
Whatever.
Spidey part 2. Andrew Robinson, if you say Spider-Man 3, you're going to laugh. And
I'm going to say something, and it includes a part 3, but it is not Spider-Man. And I'm going to try and avoid all of this piggybacking of continually naming the franchise. I'm going to just sop it up all in one pick, and I'm going to say the entire Bourne trilogy, because I'm not taking in Legacy. Legacy can go and screw itself. Identity, Supremacy, and Ultimatum. When I was making this list, I was trying to figure out, like, what really constitutes a blockbuster. Like, we know it has to come out in the summer, and we know it has to make money. But does that mean that it has to be a big, bloated action movie? No, it can be a smart movie as well. And that's what I always felt the Bourne movies
have to
were.
Make money. Take Torque off this list.
So my basis rule for any movie I've picked is, number one, it has to double whatever its production budget was. And each of the Bourne movies did that. And number two, it has to make over $100 million. Which means I ruled out me being completely assholish and calling something like Once or Before Sunset, which were both massive financial hits, but not exactly $100 million financial hits. So I'm starting out, as I said, with the Bourne trilogy: Identity, Supremacy, Ultimatum. I think Identity might have been the first movie that I went to the theater alone to watch, because everyone else was going, who's Matt Damon? And I went, fuck you guys, and I went and I watched the movie. And I was so happy. Like, I don't think I would have enjoyed that movie with people, because they would have all just been looking at me going, why are you liking only two action scenes in a movie?
How much money did Equilibrium make? Somebody check that real quick.
Like $2.
Fuck. That's not blockbuster. No?
God damn it.
So yeah, Bourne, love it. Douglas.
Okay, so what did I start off with? Spider-Man, my number 4, I'm going to venture into childhood here. And I know I've watched part 1. Well, I've watched part 1 since. I've been told that I watched part 1 when it actually came out, but that's way too long ago for me to remember. But I remember going to New Kingston drive-in, mm-hmm, in order to watch this film in the open air on a huge screen, listening to the audio from the radio of my car.
Which, how movies were meant to be watched.
Right. In the back seat of my parents' Ford Escort. No, not Escort, sorry. Ford Cortina. That movie is Ghostbusters 2. And all I have to say to you guys is who you gonna call? All right.
He-Man. He-Man. That's who I'm calling.
Captain Planet is who I'm calling. Most racist superhero of all time. Whose pick is it?
Andrew. Yours. No, oh, it's yours.
It was you, then Andrew. I'm sorry. This one is pretty recent. Guys, have you... There's this set of movies where toys get up and talk. to other people, but not really. They talk to themselves and they run around. And they made two, and I enjoyed the first two, but then they made three, and three is when I was truly on board. Toy Story. Toy Story 3 is the shit. How on earth did they make a movie that good? It's a movie about goddamn toys. And Pixar... this is unbelievable. Like, when Pixar is on form... I mean, we spoke about it in Nemo. But when they're right... they're really right. And I think... that Toy Story 3... is my favorite one of all of their movies. I think Toy Story 3 is the one that I think Pixar did the best job at. There's others that I love, but I think that one's my... So, Andrew?
Did you guys ever see that video of these guys who decided to, for lack of a better word, troll their friends by re-editing Toy Story 3 and ending it in the pit? With them looking at the file going, oh shit, this is over. And wow. They literally just cut it there and put the credits? Stitched the credits to there.
That is
and just,
mean.
For their friends who had never seen it. And just watching children cry.
Andrew you Robinson, thank YouTube. You. Thank you for giving me that idea. I have a niece that is going to grow up and hate Toy Story. And I cannot wait. I'm going to ruin her life. It is what I'm going to do. That is perfect. That is absolutely perfect. Those people are the worst. they're bad people. And I
and that's why you
that.
Don't love them. They're your favorite
I
people
I applaud
in the world
them for that. That is what director's cut should be. Just people being jerks.
But anyways, my number four... and it is only a blockbuster in the way that I have defined a blockbuster. It came out in the summer, it doubled its budget, and made over $100 million. And this is a movie I adore. It came out in June of 1998, and it is the Jim Carrey film, The Truman Show. I don't think we've ever talked about this movie.
That's a good movie.
Because Damien White is not the biggest fan of that movie.
Really, Damien?
You have to understand, I watched that movie when it came out. I was 15 years younger.
Oh wait, you haven't seen it since?
I haven't seen it since.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of it when it first came out, but I've watched it since and
I saw it whenever
it's really good.
Put it out at CinemaStar, whichever one of those networks put it out. And
yeah.
Saturday, sat down and watched it and went, Jim Carrey isn't funny in this. And then never again.
You're like, damn that man for not being funny right now. But this
Where's
movie
Ace
is
Ventura?
Fantastic.
Never watch it again.
It's one of those movies which I feel is so poignant on the idea of reality TV in a time when reality TV hadn't yet hit its prime. Like, I don't think the real world had even happened yet at that time. When was the real world starting? Was it? Wasn't it till late 90s?
Yeah, the real world was in the 90s.
Real early,
MTV actually
years old
that's one thing that you have to give MTV for. They pioneered
garbage television.
yep.
And I mean, this idea of manipulating reality and then having a 24-hour feed of a person's life and all of these things around
92
him.
Was the
wow.
first season of The Real
Holy
World.
Holy shit.
Just to let you know.
And this movie was in 98, so they definitely had time to think about how to mock the shit out of reality television. But I love this movie. Damien, I don't know when last you saw it, but I think you should give it a second
chance. I've seen it once, whenever it came out on a Saturday, but nope.
Okay, so for my number three pick, I am going to venture into the murky waters of verifiably good summer blockbusters.
Doesn't exist. Airline.
Movies that were actually classics.
Your teeth.
And we've spoken about it earlier. Steven Spielberg knocked this one out of the park with Animals. It doesn't
worlds.
Happen very often. Jaws is stellar.
I love this movie. I have seen this movie so many times. It has Robert Shaw. Robert Shaw has one of the greatest monologues ever in this film. Richard Dreyfuss is...
Sam Jackson had a better monologue in Lucy.
Yeah, right.
We are not gonna die!
But, I mean, you guys, come on. We need a bigger boat. You don't get more iconic than a line like that. This movie is just verifiably one of the best summer blockbusters. When I say best, I mean best in quality ever made. Yeah?
I've learned never to argue with people about Jaws.
Oh, so Damien doesn't like Jaws.
Always, okay. Ends in violence. Right. I recognize that Jaws is a good movie.
I hate you, Damien.
I do not see where this unbelievable love for a show about a shark has been garnered.
Not only a show about a shark, a show about a shark that you never see, yet is the most suspenseful and scary unseen monster ever.
We just stopped talking about one
of Damien's favorite Pixar movies, in which a good character in there, like at least like 20, 25 mm-hmm. minutes of that movie, involves a shark named Bruce.
Andrew Robinson, I'm not... My argument is not...
Yeah, it's not that it's bad. It's just...
My problem with Jaws is my problem with a lot of these movies, where... I find it hard to relate because my brain does that thing where whenever
you'd be like, there's a shark, why am I going in the water?
That is precisely, that is 150% the reason why I don't like that movie. I just go on like, guys, after it killed 1, 2, 5 people, you just go, oh, this is closed forever.
Yeah.
Don't know if you've heard, there's something in the water that is murdering people. Once they realize what is happening, they should have just gone, oh, it can't follow me on land? Guess what's happening now? I'm going towards the dirt and staying there for eternity.
But this movie is just... I mean, so I watched this when I was fairly young. It was a long time before I could go back in a pool without any fear. And that is... That's not a joke. Yes. It is said in jest, but it was true.
That is what happened to me on Tremors. Tremors was the one, because Tremors was the one.
I love that movie, by the way.
Because how do you escape? Everything they did in that movie, I went, yeah, that's...
It means you have to go out in the water, Damien, where Jaws is.
Right? No, but I'd never go in the water. How do you escape Tremors? To get to the water, I'd have to go on the dirt. And the Tremors would get me. Right. Guys, I understand. Like, I don't argue with people about Jaws. People love that movie. And I understand why they love that movie. I just don't. And I don't know why that is the one. Because there's other horror movies that I think are far, far superior than Jaws. But when you... Maybe it's the song. I think it might be the song.
The song is great.
Holy shit. Never mind. Is it my turn?
Yes, it is.
All right. Guys, Arnold Schwarzenegger has not been mentioned since we started this. And it's because we're terrible people.
Yeah, we are.
No, he's never been in a good movie in his life.
No, but he has. He's been in True Lies.
Blockbusters, and that is...
Oh, is that the one? I thought you were going to go with Terminator.
Absolutely not. True Lies is the shit. I was very sad when I found out that I couldn't go and watch that movie with people because I was a child. And so I sat down for about a year or however long it takes for that movie to go from theaters to cable. And then I sat and watched True Lies. And it was amazing. And then we rented a VHS tape from wherever you used to rent them. And it has never been given back. I'm sure if I look hard enough, I'll find a bootleg ass VHS what says True Lies on it. True Lies is the greatest. Every time I watch that movie, I am surprised just how racist that movie is. But still, absolutely, I love that movie. If that movie came out today, they would sue, like, everybody that even looked at the movie. That was before people flew planes into buildings, and they were dealing with terrorists, and they were the most racist people in the world. And I love that movie. It is... Oh, fuck, I love that movie. It was dirty brown people that were trying to kill Americans. That's a line that was said.
I'm trying to remember, who was the guy who played the guy who was cheating on... What's her name?
Brad,
was cheating
Bill Paxton.
With Bill Paxton. Yes. Shit, I remember it was somebody. I just keep remembering that scene where
who,
Arnold
by the way,
confronts
was also
him
in Terminator.
Yes, he was awesome. Yeah, where Arnold confronts him and like has him over a bridge or something. Yeah. I can't remember. Right, yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
Alright, is anyone going to say The Sphere? That movie was true.
Ooh, The Sphere was awesome. Where they get to forget things. Oh my goodness.
I remember liking that movie at the time, but I've never
yeah,
seen
you did.
It since.
Yeah, yeah you did.
So I'm not trusting that brain.
Even back then, you were an idiot.
Yeah, I remember watching that movie with Andrew and being like, what is wrong with you? Yes. Oh, that's another LL... No, was it LL Cool J or was it Queen Latifah? It was
Queen Latifah, I'm sure.
Yeah, and Dustin Hoffman. Oh my goodness. He's so good, but that in that movie...
Nothing on earth. There's no
My number three enough. Is once again not a typical blockbuster, only by the claim that it came out in the summer and it made a lot of movie. This movie actually even went on to win Best Picture that year, and we have actually talked about it on this podcast in the early days of this podcast. And it comes out in 1991. It's a Western. It stars and it's directed by Clint Eastwood.
Awesome.
Unforgiven.
Yep.
I can't believe this movie made this much money when I looked it up. This movie just passed $100 million.
I'm going to pause you for a second. You cannot believe that a Western, what has Clint Eastwood's name on it, made a lot of money.
No, hold on. I will back up Andrew here by pointing out that this movie was made in the 90s.
Does not matter.
Okay, fair. Fair enough.
Clint Eastwood. You mean when Clint Eastwood had peak powers?
No, Clint Eastwood was at peak powers in like the 70s and 80s.
And all the people that grew up watching Clint Eastwood would what in 20 years' time when they heard that he was making a movie?
Shut up. Okay. Shut up.
Earning money and saying, I'd like to spend that money, please. I think if you go back to that episode, I think we just filleted that movie because it was... It is one of the most fantastic Westerns I have seen. And I mean, when you think of Western, you kind of want to go back to the classics in the 60s. I mean, even when we just can't understand how great True Grit, the new True Grit was, and how the fact that it actually can contest with those classics. This is one of those movies which can contest with those classics. And I adore it. I actually bought the Blu-ray like last year and I was rewatching it. And that final scene with the entire bar full of people, it's perfect, right? When the guy asks, how do you know who to shoot first? He says, because I know. And that's right. Clint Eastwood is too much of a badass in that movie. I love it.
Speaking of True Grit, I'm really looking forward to True Grit Part 2.
Yep. Ripped.
Yep. Okay, so
I hate you guys.
Guys, Rooster Cogburn is in another movie.
Exactly.
Andrew Robbins. I don't care if the coins had nothing to do with it. I'm going to watch that movie.
Yeah. That movie looks horrible, but...
still,
oh
don't
my
care.
Goodness.
Do
don't
not care.
So my number two movie, which should be my number one movie, but I want to get it in before Damien, who I know is going to put it in there. I'm just gonna say it. My number two movie is Chris Nolan.
Fair enough.
There is it's like picking my children.
Right.
You've got Batman Begins. You've got The Dark Knight. You've got The Dark Knight Rises.
Returns. I'm sure. Fucking asshole.
You've got Inception, right? I mean, this.
You've got The Following.
No,
you've
that
got
one.
Prestige.
That one was not a summer. Neither of those were summer blockbusters. Though, if I could put them on that this list, right, I could. Right? This guy has yet to misstep, and that is, while it is exhilarating, it is also very concerning. Because as he ups his ante, God, as he ups his game, you just know that when he actually does misstep, it's going to be that much more stellar. It's going to be, yeah, exactly. It's going to be, his thing is just going to be horrible. Chris Nolan, wow, you are my number two summer blockbuster. And I want to at least put it in here that I have an honorable mention of the first ever Batman. not really the first ever, but the first ever real Batman by Tim Burton. That's an honorable mention.
Batman
for me.
Forever.
And since, you know, that ties in with Chris and his trilogy, I just wanted to put that out there.
No Catwoman.
But clearly, Nolan owns summer. And I am just I'm just gonna keep talking until Damien stops reminding us about the bad things that we don't want to remember. So Damien, what is your number two?
Alright. Because Douglas has mentioned Chris Nolan and essentially cheated by picking in I think it's only fitting that I did the same. For my remaining couple of picks. Number two is Roland Emmerich.
Oh, wow.
Now, guys, you will say that his movies are terrible, and you'll be right. What you cannot say is that they don't make money. And what else you can say is that they don't destroy the world. This man is great at his job. Independence Day, that stupid one where ice was freezing New York.
Wait, that was him? The Day After Tomorrow?
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
2012.
Do you know who was in that movie? Jake Gyllenhaal was in that movie. Yes.
And
wow.
I love all of them.
Wow.
No, I might be an idiot. I'm probably an idiot for liking them, but I don't care, guys. Those movies are... Oh God, I love them. Guys, do you remember Independence Day? That movie doesn't make sense. Right? They fly to an alien planet and connect a laptop
Damien.
To alien technology to
Damien.
Shut down.
Damien.
The best.
Damien. We don't question Roland
Damien,
Emmerich.
Don't you understand how computers work? Apples don't get viruses, so whatever the alien technology was, the Apple beats.
How did they
alien technology?
I can't have a connect a Apple machine to a Windows machine. They connected it to alien technology and it worked. And then 2012 is perfect. Chewie is in that.
Yes, he is.
Don't look at me like that. No matter how much you want him to not be in it, he'll still be in that
Well,
movie.
No, hey, I have to admit, I enjoy that movie.
You're damn right,
I mean,
you do.
Come on.
You're goddamn right, you know.
So, Andrew, number two.
My number two is the other summer blockbuster I could find, which was actually a legitimately good movie. Like, I don't know anyone out there who can hate this movie in any way. It came out in 1998 in July. It lost the Best Picture Award to Shakespeare in Love, and it happens to be Steven Spielberg's Saving Private Ryan. Right, I still don't understand that pick in the Oscars. Right?
We're already unwilling to disagree with you.
But unfortunately, then, you proved us wrong.
Then you called.
Yeah.
You went for the big guns on that one.
Like, I mean, this movie has dictated how war movies have been made after it. Like,
and
I don't
war video games and literally anything to do with war.
Right? I can never understand how, like, when I sit down and I actually watch that opening scene, it's not the actual opening scene, but it's an early scene which lasts I'm pretty sure it's like 20 minutes on its own of them storming the beach.
And getting murdered.
You can't close your eyes watching it. It's just in between horrifying to mesmerizing as to how well he puts everything in the scene. Like, I even remember a few years back when South Park parodied it in, it was some Fantasyland thing where they literally had that exact same scene happen. Like, you saw Ronald McDonald picking up his severed arm the way that the guy was doing it in the scene and all of these things. And it still blows my mind that people can get away with that, with doing things like that. Because this movie, it almost feels like it changes scale of what an R movie could be, because the level of violence that's in this movie, which is accepted, it almost felt unfounded at the time. Unfounded, that's the wrong word. Unprecedented at this time. And every movie following just says, look, you saw that movie, Private Ryan? We're alright. And it just goes right through.
So he has another war movie. But then there's a horse.
There's also a war movie with worlds.
Yeah. So
I like the worlds one, though.
When you think about what he's able to do with a war movie, and then his subsequent war movies, both with the worlds and with a horse.
The worlds was good, damn it.
Until it ended.
I don't know about the horse. I need to watch the horse one.
Douglas, stop promising me.
Yeah.
Stop it. We already
know. Watching Miller's Crossing, so you're not watching War Horse. That's right, Douglas. We're not stupid.
Anyway.
What is your first?
My number one pick, which should have been my number two pick.
Before
I really
Sunset
can't.
Is not
no, it's not. though. It's not a I love that movie. I really can't get away from Iron Man. That movie. Is
I don't like you.
I love that movie.
I don't like you.
Honestly, there
was a better movie that came out that summer.
No, there wasn't. No, there wasn't. The Incredible Hulk was not better than Iron Man. We have had this argument so many times.
You want to have it again because you keep getting it wrong.
I love Iron Man. Iron Man was
I love the trailers.
It was kind of the introduction into the New World Order for comic book movies. It was. This was early on.
Batman.
No. When I say all right, fair enough. There are comic book movies before, but Marvel went all out with Iron Man, right? And this is now Marvel proper.
Yes.
Right. And that was, if not the first, one of the first movies where they said, you know what, we're not playing around anymore. This is now going to be a universe.
Do you know that there is a post-credit scene in the first Iron Man?
Yeah.
There is.
Yes, with the Captain America shield, one?
I've never seen it.
No, in the first Iron Man, it's when Nick Fury just appears in his living room.
We're doing S.H.I.E.L.D.
Come on.
Yeah, man.
You never knew that?
I remember me and Andrew knew about it, and so we stayed in the theater to watch it.
And then they closed the curtains
on us while it was playing. Yeah. But no, Iron Man, they hit it out the park with that one. Love it. And, you know, as I said before, this list, it's just dominated by comic books. You've got Iron Man, you've got all of these Batman movies that kind of roll up into Chris Nolan, and you've got Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Three out of five.
Summer blowing up shit movies. They're perfect.
They are.
My number ones.
Yep. There we go.
Are all from the same lunatic. It's not Chris Nolan, because you took that.
Yes, I did.
But even if you didn't take Chris Nolan, it would have just been second. When it comes to summer blockbusters, there's only one man that I think of, and he has a movie coming out this summer, and I cannot wait, because two of my favorite people on the planet have teamed up to make Superman.
Yep.
Zack Snyder gave us 300. Do you remember what happened when 300 came out? You could not get into Carib. It was impossible.
I remember Douglas going, meh.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because Douglas is high and drunk. Everybody talked about that movie for the rest of the year. And until next summer, no one cared what else came out. 300 was dominant. Now, Watchmen, which I love more, a lot of people don't like because they're high and drunk. But those two movies, when Superman finally comes out, I will have three separate comic book things from this guy. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say Superman will be up to that level. Because if Jack Schneider knows one thing, it is how to entertain Damian.
Hey, Damian, what do you think of Day of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead, whichever one like, it was that like he that. Did? Because yeah. he did that.
No, he's done. That's why I'm talking about three movies. Legend of Ga'Hoole and the other one with Ga'Hoole, Super Punch.
That was actually and I didn't mind Punch, the right? old movie. I didn't mind that one.
It was yeah, but I'm talking about when he's on his game. 300 was a thing of beauty. If it weren't for the fact that I could rip movies onto a hard drive, I'm pretty sure the Blu-ray for that would have been shredded years ago. And I remember I watched Watchmen as if I didn't continue to watch it, it would like disappear. That is how many times I saw Watchmen. And I think like if I had to pick between The Dark Knight, like if I had to go into the theaters, I said Damon were releasing two movies, Dark Knight v Watchmen or Dark Knight v 300, Dark Knight wouldn't be watched. That is how much I love those movies. I understand that Chris Nolan is better. I understand too that the Dark Knight is a better movie, but if I'm going to sit down and watch something to be entertained just non-stop, 300, the people, I can't wait to see what they do with part 2 because it's not him. I want to see if it was a fluke, if someone else, like given the template, can do it. And it's the same thing with Sin City too. I want to see if maybe it is.
Well,
not,
isn't Sin City still Rodriguez or no?
Is it still Rodriguez, Andrew?
Yup, still Rodriguez.
Oh, alright, yeah, even better. I want to see if it is him, because there's evidence to say that it isn't, because he's made terrible movies. Sucker Punch, even though I tried, even though the extended version is 40 times better than the theatrical cut, between that and that horror movie and the Bird movie, he's mediocre. But then he has these two juggernauts that I can always point to and go, when I think about some of Blockbusters, the thing that flashes in my head is Gerard Butler slow motion spinning around and hitting a man with a shield. And I go, that is it. That is what I think.
No, that's not it. That is Sparta.
That is this. Oh, God damn it. Douglas Rowe, I love that movie. It is a crime how much I enjoy that movie.
Yes.
And so that is number one.
Yes.
Torque can't be on the list. It didn't make it.
Andrew Robinson.
So my number one was already mentioned, sadly. So I have to call in an audible. And since I look at my list and I realize I haven't mentioned any comic book movies yet, I'm going to just go and grab it up. A film that I'm not quite sure I'm ready to say is as great as my mind is telling me, because I haven't revisited this for a very long time, but it was a childhood favorite of Douglas and I, came out in 1990, in June of 1990. It starred Al Pacino and Warren Beatty. And
oh, that movie's great. That is not the type of comic book movie that I was thinking of, though.
What movie is he talking about?
Dick Tracy.
I'm sorry, no. So this is your number one?
That movie's awesome.
Wait.
That movie's so good.
So this is one.
This is audible one. This is audible
what
one.
What was not audible one?
What was not audible one, yes, was Tim Burton's Batman.
I only mentioned it as a side note. I'm sorry.
I think that's even worse.
I mean, everything.
I like how this is your favorite summer blockbusters, and you've only seen somebody's 30 years ago.
Well, this is the only one that I haven't seen in a while.
Well, right? I will back up Andrew by saying I have seen this within the last, say, 2 to 3 years.
I need to watch that.
And love it. It is so just... Something as simple as
the
color palette. Yeah, thank you. Me and you clearly are on the same page.
Yes, hi, I'm
It's
drunk.
Phenomenal.
You're both
Damian, like, I even try to remember some of this, I remember some of those scenes with Al Pacino, and it is so good.
I have to. There's no way it is getting anywhere close. So.
It's great. And what's funny is when we were young, Andrew, we were young enough not to know some of these like great people. But I watched it recently and, you know, well, at the time I knew who Madonna was and knew that she was in it. But Dustin Hoffman is in this movie. I did not know this when I saw it at first.
Guys, none of us said Transportal.
No, none of us none did. Of us wow.
Why?
That's sad, but at the same time.
Top five.
Sorry.
Can I kick out? What would I kick out?
I don't think I could kick out anything really from that. Yeah. Transporter is one of those that you get honorable mention for. Honestly, I have a couple honorable mentions, and they're both Disney. One, and they both came out, I think, the same summer. No, one is
Armageddon.
Yeah. One is the Sorcerer's Apprentice, which was fantastic. The other is Jake Gyllenhaal as the Prince of Persia, which is also fantastic.
I don't think you understand what I asked you.
those are some great summer blockbusters. No?
No.
No?
No.
Did they not come out in summer?
Yes.
Were they not blockbusters?
Yes.
So what the fuck's wrong with
they
you?
They weren't good.
They weren't good?
That is the problem. That is the problem.
Says they the man good. Who brought up Roland Emmerich.
Hey, wow. If you fight me with Independence Day in 2012, we'll have a physical fisticuffs fight. Nothing you brought up is better than Independence Day. Nothing. So you shut
Saving
up.
Saving Private Ryan isn't better than Independence
shut
Day.
Shut up. All right, fine.
Okay.
One thing you brought up is like the greatest movie of all time.
Unforgiven isn't better than Independence Day?
Independence Day is better
Honestly?
Than Unforgiven.
Okay, no, all right.
No, I'm not serious. Ooh,
I will guys, remember that. I'll remember that.
Guys, please delete
that. We have that delete in that the recording.
Delete the tape. It's a better movie. It's not a better summer blockbuster. If the two of them were playing, I'd go watch Independence Day again.
A couple of honorable mentions that I had on my list. I was thinking about The Rock. One of my favorite Michael Bay movie. There's the Harrison Ford, The Fugitive, because Tommy Lee Jones has a...
He's loved that movie since day one.
I love The Fugitive, but come on. Why not Enemy of the State? Since we're just going to bring up madness about technology and running down people. Enemy of the State. What's the one with Wesley Snipes? Fugitive 2? What's that one?
US Marshals. Right. I was even thinking of some of the more recent stuff. Like, there's Money of course Train. The Avengers. There's The Hangover. There's 40-Year-Old Virgin. I mean,
yes, Money Train. You goddamn right, Money Train. Look at me.
Money
like that.
Train. Crazy.
You know you like that movie.
Actually, when I think of those movies, the one movie, Swordfish. And I don't even know if this is a summer movie, which I really really like, White Men Can't Jump.
That wouldn't be a blockbuster. No one.
I kind of equate them. I think it's because racist. Woody Harrelson is in the same is in two of them. Woody Harrelson is in Money Train, right?
Yes.
It's right. I just wanted to make sure I was right in that. Both of them is Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes.
Yep.
All right, so that's why I kind of think of them together.
Demolition
Man. White
Men
Can't Jump is so awesome. Demolition Man, that was my first R-rated movie, I believe.
Yes, I remember that movie. That was awesome. You
and
know
laughing
what?
At cyber sex.
Aha, yes. You know what? Movie just came to my mind that I am actually embarrassed that this movie was not on my list. I'm not 100% sure if this came out in the summer, but if it didn't, it should have. Face Off.
Oh, yeah, that definitely. Yep.
Con Air.
No. That movie.
Con Air is awesome.
When
those were
Matrix
the same
out,
summer.
The
same
Matrix
month.
Was a summer movie, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
No.
No?
No. Nope. Right, it came out November, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, there we go.
Came out. later on down in the year. Because I remember I had school.
I didn't actually watch it in the theater, so I watched it when it came out on tape.
The first time I saw that trailer, I wasn't even supposed to be able to watch the movie. Right? They would have to have thrown me out of Carib and called police because I was going to watch The Matrix.
I remember watching that movie on... At the time, I didn't have this television. Mm-hmm. It was a much smaller TV screen. Probably mm-hmm. yay big. And it was right... It was about here. And I was watching it on VHS. Yes. And it was shitty-ass quality. But I loved it.
That's the top five summer blockbusters. According to us. Yep.
It's not according to us. These are the top. we make opinion, okay?
Right, when you type top summer blockbusters into Google now, these 15 movies will come up.
Exactly. We are so famous that Google now wishes us happy birthday.
Exactly.
Yep, that's yes. how it works.
It's just the three of us. Oh, okay. Just the three of us.
How does Google know my birthday again? Who gave them that info? It was Andrew. He put it in there.
Gave
the link.
Yup.
Son of a bitch.
So, thanks again for listening to the podcast.
Actually, now that you mention it, how did Google know what my birthday was?
I'm sure it's a new Google account.
It must be, but I don't remember putting it in there.
Gmail is attached to Google, is attached to everything, and I'm sure when you set up your Gmail account, you give it your proper birthday.
Whenever Google sends me the activity report, and I look at it, I'm like, holy shit.
No, Google knows a lot about me. Like, somehow Google found out within about a week of me using Google Now that I was a Chelsea fan and I should be informed of every Chelsea match and the score.
Right.
Within another week, it realized that while I'm not a Man U fan, I also want to know what Man U does so that because I can badmind them. I mean, Google knows where I live. Google constantly tells me how far it is, how long it's going to take me to get home.
Like,
this is crazy.
I like the fact that it's not... It's just... What makes me more comfortable is just that it's just computers looking at shit. It's not like a person sitting down and going, what is Damon up to? I like the fact that it's just a computer. And because of that, I know that there is ways for me to trick the computer. Because there's...
Are you an effective team, Damien?
So I guess we all have watched this movie then. This poor, poor movie. However, I would like to say this to our viewers, because they view us. We've ended the podcast.
Yes, we did.
Damn it, I was about to end. Cut a big heart from a wicked man's chest. Say goodbye, maybe hang a hide on the fence. For a fantasy alive in the eyes of revenge. Oh, and accidentally injure a B-jam band. If I had Edward Scissorhands' hands. I will wrap my arms around you, and I will not let them get through to harm you. My fingers will be just like barbed wire surrounding you, and I will not let them through to do the things they want to do to you. I know it's hard. I could have been always ripper back even if I.